in God's Word. Here in Ephesians 2, probably half of you know verses 8 and 9 by heart. But do you know verse 10? So we're going to look at 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are his workmanship. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word in our hearts, each one, as you see fit to convict, to grow. Lord, whatever the need might be, and I pray that we would be coming with open hearts and be responsive to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ will be lifted up as you guide us in your truth. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So we'll go through verses 8 and 9 because they're part of the passage. But I know that most of you know this passage, but it's a beautiful truth for us Christians, isn't it? That we are saved by grace. Amen. Hallelujah for the grace of God. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, the Bible says, hath appeared to all men. Romans 3:25, being justified freely by his grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here today. That's the honest truth. We are saved by grace through faith. So as we exercise our faith in what Jesus did, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, we find salvation through faith. As many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's by faith that we find Christ. Go to Romans chapter 3 and we'll see this. When we exercise our faith in Jesus as the Savior, as God in the flesh, as the one that died as our substitute, God, through his grace, saves us. Notice Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Isn't that good? Unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. Exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are saved by grace through faith. Back to our passage, and not of yourselves. It's a short little phrase, and we as Christians, we understand it, but trust me, the world doesn't. This is the biggest stumbling block of the world, isn't it? It's trying to earn their way to heaven. Those who believe there is a God, there is a heaven, you ask them, and what, 90% of the time, their answer is going to include something that they are doing or something that they have done. Maybe that they've been baptized. Maybe they go to church. Maybe they think they're a good person. But it usually comes down to them thinking that they can earn salvation. And so God, to make it clear, says not of yourselves. You and I cannot earn heaven. We cannot earn the grace of God. We cannot earn salvation. It's gifted to us. Notice Romans chapter 10, verse 3, if you would. But that's an important phrase. Understanding the difference between Christianity and pretty much every other religion in the world. Not of yourselves. Romans 10, 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see that going about to establish their own righteousness? That is the world, isn't it? Trying to establish their own righteousness because they are ignorant of God's righteousness. And it's only because of God's righteousness that we can have salvation. And when we get salvation, of course, the righteousness of God is imputed to us as a gift, not something that we can earn. Bit of a tongue twister, Romans 11:6. Some of you know it. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Can't mix them. Grace and works don't mix in God's program. But then he drives it home in Ephesians 2:8, for it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Hallelujah. Romans talks a lot about the fact that it is a free gift. And as you know, you cannot earn a gift. You cannot pay for a gift. But you need to receive a gift. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now in this passage that we're looking at today, we're going to see the word works show up three times. Here in verse 9, not of works. Verse 10, we are his workmanship. And then verse 10, unto good works. So make note of that. But here in verse 9, he says, not of works. We've already been told it's not of ourselves. We've already been told it's a gift, but it's not of works. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5, if you would. And of course, most of us know Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But here in Romans 4, 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then that phrase that we're all familiar with, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:9. Let's be real. If we could earn heaven, we would definitely boast about it because we are filled with pride. We'd get to heaven and we'd say, "Ah, I did just enough works. And look at me, I did it." Poor old James, he missed it by 10. But that's exactly what we would do, isn't it? We would boast about it. I earned this. I'm in heaven because of what I did. Because we are very boastful creatures. But my friend, you cannot earn it. And when you get to heaven, there will be no boasting. There will only be praise and worship for the one who made it possible. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died, paid the price for our sins, rose again, and gifted us salvation. There won't be any boasting in heaven. None. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You can try to do good works your entire life, and if you don't get saved, you'll still go to hell. Because all those good works don't have anything to do with all those thousands and thousands of sins that you've committed. Those have to be dealt with. They aren't allowed in heaven. God is holy. And no flesh will ever glory in his presence. So that brings us to our main passage today, verse 10. We are his workmanship. If you're a born-again Christian, if you've been gifted salvation by the grace of God, not based on your works, not based upon anything you've done, but you have trusted Jesus Christ, God has gifted you salvation, you are his workmanship. God has done something in your life that is miraculous, that is one of the greatest things ever in the universe. God has recreated you. That's why we call it being born again. That's why Jesus calls it being born again in John chapter 3. We are his workmanship. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:7, if you would, quickly. It says later on in the verse, created in Christ Jesus. If you are a born-again Christian, you have been recreated. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Earthen, that means dirt. What's the treasure? That's our salvation. But it's in earthen vessels. In other words, we can't stand before God and say, I'm just amazing, God. I deserve to go to heaven. No, you're just an earthen vessel that now contains the treasure of salvation. That who might get all the excellency? God. We are his workmanship. He has made us new. Most of us know 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We are new. We have been recreated in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship. God has a plan now for us. Look, if you would, at Philippians 2:13. And so he has recreated us, and now he plans to live a Christian life through us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see those words, will and do? It's God's will that we, as we'll see, do good works. And God promises that as we yield and surrender to him, that's exactly what he will do through us. That is his will. We are his workmanship. For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he also did what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is conforming us day by day to the image of Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship. In Galatians 6:15, if you would turn there quickly. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. This is beautiful, this passage, isn't it? We're saved by grace. We're saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift given to us by God because of his love, because of his mercy. And it's not of works. Lest we would boast, and we can't boast. For we are his workmanship. He has recreated us into something new. But then the heart of our message today, verse 10, unto good works. He's recreated us. We're his workmanship. He's going to work through us. But what does he want from us but good works? Now we hear so much about good works from the world and from cults about earning things, earning heaven. But no, we're not to do good works to earn anything. We're to do good works because of what he has done for us. And we are so grateful that he has saved us from hell. We're so grateful that he's gifted us salvation, that he's made us a new creature, that he's done everything for us. We, in return, want to serve him out of complete gratitude. But you know this phrase, good works, it shows up a lot in the New Testament, which is maybe why some people in the world get confused, thinking that they can earn heaven with good works, which now we've proven that you can't. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want good works from his recreated children, from his workmanship. So let's see if it shows up a few times. Look at Colossians 1:10. And I want us to just get a hold of this great truth. This is what God wants from us. Now that we're his creation, now that he's made us part of his family, now that he has gifted us salvation, what he wants from us as his workmanship is good works. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. Let's look at another one, 2 Timothy 3:17. 2 Timothy 3:17, talking about the powerful word of God. Verse 16 talks about how God inspired his word, that it's powerful for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and all that. But look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all, what? Good works. God says one of the reasons that he uses the word to furnish us, to change us, is that we might do good works. Titus 3:8. So good, another one. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, well, that would be us, might be careful to maintain, what? Good works. There it is again. Those that have believed in God, that have been saved, would be careful to maintain good works. And then 1 Peter 2:12, we'll just look at one more. But I want you to see that this is a prominent theme throughout the New Testament that as his workmanship, those of us that have been gifted salvation, been saved by the grace of God through his mercy, we are his workmanship unto good works. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Matthew 5:16. So God wants us to witness to the lost. That's a good work, isn't it? He wants us to put our gifts to use by meeting the needs of others, helping others, serving others, edifying them, exhorting them, comforting them, showing hospitality. These are good works. And this is what God wants from us, that we would take this gift that he's given us and we would let him work out salvation through us. And the key is in verse 10, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's our part. We're his workmanship. He saved us. He's given us the gift of salvation. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. And he is going to work through us. He's going to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. He wants good works from us. But our part is we must let him do it. And that's where the problem comes in, isn't it? Because we're selfish and we're self-centered and we're stubborn and we're prideful. And so we often don't want to walk in them. But this is the key, isn't it? Look at Galatians 5:16, if you would. Is now we must consciously walk in the Spirit of God that he might work through us. You know, most of us know Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Does it say the fruit of man? No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 16 says what? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said that we should walk in them. We need to walk in the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 5:2. We'll see it again. It says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Walk in the Spirit. That's us. That's a command. 1 John 2:6. Turn there if you would. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him, well, that would be us. Amen. If you're a born-again Christian, you claim that you abide in Christ. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And so it is God's will that those that have received the gift of salvation through the grace of God and have now become his workmanship, his recreation, his child, would maintain good works. We are his workmanship unto something. There's an end in it all. He's recreated us, but he wants something from us while we're here on this earth, and that is good works. That we walk in them, that they become a testimony to the lost, that they be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that as we serve them and help meet their needs and encourage and comfort them and be hospitable and so forth, that we actually impact them with our good works. So you see, we're not doing them to try to earn something or to earn heaven or to earn a crown or whatever. We might get a crown. That's up to God. That's not the point. The point is, God wants to touch their lives through us. We are just, it's like when Jesus fed the 5,000. He created all this food from just this boy's lunch, right? But why was it so important that Christ then have them sit down in companies of 50s, and then the disciples take what Christ had created from this little tiny bit, enough to feed thousands of people. Why was it then important that his disciples then distributed among the people? Because that's who we are. We're just distributors. Amen? We're distributors of God's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How do we do that? Love is action, as we know. We do that by yielding to the Spirit of God, those of us that have the gift of salvation, and maintaining these good works. And when we do, then God's touching other lives through us, which is exactly what he wants, that we be constantly touching other lives on behalf of God. And when that happens, it's God touching those lives. Right? We're just the channel. When people bless us in certain ways, who do we give the praise to? The person or God? We always give the praise to God, right? It's God that blessed us. Yeah, he used that person as a channel. That person was just obeying God as his workmanship by maintaining good works. It's not really a complicated plan, is it? But we make it complicated because of our selfishness and our stubbornness. And so God wants each of us, as his workmanship, that we would maintain good works, that we would be careful to walk in them constantly as his recreation. Now, if you're here and you're not born again, this wasn't for you. But as we just read, it's a gift of God. It's only by the grace of God that you can have salvation. And God offers it to everyone on behalf of what Jesus did. But you must come to that point where you recognize that you are a sinner, as the Bible teaches, and that you deserve hell, as the Bible teaches, and that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and shed his blood for you, died for you, rose again for you, and through what he did as your substitute offers you the gift of eternal life. But you must accept it by acknowledging your sinfulness, acknowledging that Christ did all that for you and is your Savior, and asking him. And if you'll do that, God gives you the gift. It's the most beautiful thing. Could there be a greater gift? God calls it his unspeakable gift. And I hope that everyone in this room has received that gift at some point in your life. And if you haven't, please, there's no reason to leave today not getting that settled. Talk to me, talk to some of our folks, and just say, listen, I want to make sure I have salvation. And we'll be happy to share the gospel. But those of us that are Christians, you are God's workmanship. God recreated you, but he did it for a purpose here on earth. He didn't just do it to do it. God always has a purpose in everything that he does. When he gave power to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, what was the purpose? Just so that they could say, look at all the power I have? No. And ye shall be witnesses. When God gives us the gifts, what's the purpose of all those gifts? That we might touch other lives for God. He always has a purpose. And it always has to do with people. Amen? So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Lord, this simple message and yet so profound, may we take it to heart. Lord, how important it is that we maintain good works for thee, that we be constantly looking for those opportunities to allow you to work through us that we might touch lives on your behalf, that we be on the lookout for those that have needs, that need encouragement, that need help. And Lord, may we offer that. And I pray that each of us would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we come across folks that need the gospel, that we would share it and be that instrument of yours. I pray for your will in our hearts. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Christ's name.